The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live on a Friday. I hope you have a great Friday, good weekend ahead. Terry McAuliffe doesn't. Terry McAuliffe beat himself up last night in a one-on-two interview in the so-called Virginia Roundtable. And really, he just punched himself out. If it was a fight, they would have stopped it. They would have said, Terry, why don't you leave now because you're so bad. Glenn Youngkin's already winning. Glenn Youngkin's going to win. You're desperate and you're terrible. I want to go in reverse order of his nightmare comments last night. And for the rest of the country, Terry McAuliffe is indeed the same Terry McAuliffe you've heard about for 40 years. He's the Jack the Lad of Virginia politics. He is just a sort of a buffoonish character, arrogant, smug, everything you don't want in an elected official, and old, and been around forever. In reverse order of bad answers, let's start with his least bad answer, where he tries to avoid the fact he called for overturning the election of 2000 and threw dirt on 2004, cut number 15.
But in 2004... you said this about the election where President Bush beat Al Gore.
Let's go back to Florida. We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
Okay, so first I want to talk about this. Was President George Bush legitimately elected?
Well, we went through a very contentious 2000, if you remember. And I remind you, it went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And it took them through the second week of December to actually make a decision. And the Supreme Court, for the first time in the history of our country, stopped the counting of ballots in Florida and overturned the local Virginia or the Florida Supreme Court.
So yes or no?
So that was a different. Yep. He got sworn in. Once you're sworn in, we got to move on. But do not forget that it was very important that the Supreme Court of Florida stopped the counting of ballots.
Okay.
That wasn't the case in 2020.
Well, you came out with a new ad this week.
Sure.
Challenging Mr. Youngkin's prioritizing election integrity.
Yeah.
You said Glenn is again casting doubt on election results and putting Trump's conspiracy theories first. This behavior is dangerous and it's disqualifying.
Yeah.
So my question to you is,
yeah,
what is the difference between what you've said and what you're accusing him of?
Well, first of all, I'll say it again. That case in 2000 went to the United States Supreme Court.
Stop right there. The case in 2020 also went to the United States Supreme Court. It was not heard on the merits. But as a matter of technical law, that's not it. Secondly, he's just avoiding it. But that's not even on the medal stand. That's not one of the top three. Let's go to the top three last night. It was bad already that he can't simply say, I changed my mind. Or 2020 or 2000 was really election fraud and 2020 wasn't. It's going to the Supreme Court. You think Virginia voters buy that? No. But that's not even on the top three. Here's the bronze medal, cut number 16.
And we're going to take a clip of your comments from the last debate on parents' involvement,
yes,
in the school curriculum.
And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So... yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Okay, so with that as the backdrop, sir,
yeah,
in the Emerson College Next Star poll, Virginians were asked who should have more influence in their curriculum, parents or school boards? And we did find that the majority of parents think they should have more influence in their children's education versus the school board. So based on that, do you still stand by your position that parents should not tell the schools what they should teach?
First of all, that was about a bill about teachers being able to veto books that curriculums had passed. Now, if you've got 25 students in a classroom, you do not want 25 parents picking books because, you know, you have parents who interact with the school boards, working with the state board of ed. And the goal always is to make sure we have the certifications to make sure every child is getting a quality education. But this isn't what Glenn is doing. This is not about parents' interactions with school boards. This is a dog whistle. This is where he talks about critical race theory, which I remind you, Anita, is not taught in Virginia. And I really hate it.
He really hates it, but he can't define it. I'll come to that. I'll tell you why in a second. But we're not going to go there yet. This is the silver medal for our own goals last night. Terry McAuliffe, cut number 14.
Now, my question is, are you still proud to have the endorsement of the new Virginia majority?
Listen, Andy, the issue is, when I was governor, I had the lowest crime rate of any state in the United States of America. You know what? And I think that's what your viewers are actually concerned about. When I ran for governor, we had 1,000 sheriffs on food stamps. I made a pledge, and I honored that, to get everyone off of food stamps. I am the first governor to receive an honorary sheriff award from the sheriffs. I have tremendous support. I gave my state police. I gave my law enforcement pay raises and all. It's important.
No, but my question is, sir, what? I need you to answer it. Are you still proud to have the endorsement of the new Virginia majority? Yes or no?
Listen, groups endorse me. You're not responsible. I got thousands of them.
This group, are you still proud to have their
endorsement? I do not support any defunded the police. I actually funded the police. And that's why, as I say, I had the lowest crime rate of any major state in America. That's just plain fact. So you've got groups endorsing you. Really? What do Virginians care about? That when I was governor, in a bipartisan way, I passed the toughest domestic violence law in the United States of America. And Glenn Youngkin, he wants to roll back background checks.
But I'm going to ask you a third time. Are you still proud to have the endorsement of the new Virginia majority?
Any group that wants to endorse. I do not support some plan if someone says you want to defund the police. I funded the police, and I'm very proud of it.
So you're still proud to have their endorsement?
A lot of people endorse me. So be it.
Okay. His body language is so bad. I mean, the jury wouldn't even take a minute to convict him of lying. Look, Princess Blanding is the progressive in the race, the African-American activist who is running and drawing off votes from Terry McAuliffe. He can't repudiate even radical groups like the New Virginia majority that wanted to fund the police. He can't repudiate anyone. He needs everybody. He can't win, by the way. I think Glenn Youngkin has got a significant lead at this point. But how bad was this? This is the gold medal. This is the one where you say to yourself, Terry McAuliffe has lost it and should not have come back because, well, he's lost more than a step. Number one, this is Terry McAuliffe and critical race theory, cut number 13.
How do you define critical race theory?
I answer this question very clearly. It's not taught in Virginia, and it's never been taught in Virginia. And as I've said this a lot, it's a dog whistle. It's racial, it's division, and it's used by Glenn Youngkin and others. This is the same thing with Trump and the border wall to divide people. We should not be dividing people in school.
So how do you define it?
Anita, it is not taught here in Virginia.
But how do you define it?
Doesn't matter. It's not taught here in Virginia, so I'm not going to spend my time
on what it is.
I'm not even spending my time because the school board and everyone else has come out and said it's not taught. It's racist. It's a dog whistle.
But if we don't have a definition, how can we say it's racist? I just want a definition from you.
It's not taught here in Virginia. We can ask about any topic. Here's what I've said all along. And it really bothers me. You know, it really bothers me. This whole idea of stirring parents up to create divisions. Our children are going through such challenges today because of COVID. And we're talking about something here today, wasting precious viewers' time who want to know what I'm going to do on health care, what I'm going to do on job creation. And we're talking about something that's not taught in Virginia.
All right. Well, let me then ask you this. Is there anything that you would not want taught in public schools as it relates to race and history?
You know, I will leave this to the school boards and the state board of education with our experts. We are ranked number one in the country on higher ed, number four on K-12. We're doing fine, but COVID has created, we've got schools that need to be rebuilt. We're losing quality teachers because we don't pay our teachers. I want to make sure all these at-risk 3- and 4-year-olds get it. I want to build a world-class education. I put $1 billion in the last time I was governor. I got rid of 5 SOLs. You know why? Because parents kept telling me,
teachers are teaching the tests and children are learning to memorize.
Okay.
I want cognitive thought process. I want critical reasoning going on. I don't want students memorizing. So I tried to build, and you know what? Because of that investment,
Mr. McCullough,
I got 1,100 economic projects to come to Virginia.
No, thank you. No, not thank you. Mr. McCullough, why can't you answer a very easy question? Do you not even know what we're talking about? Play it again. This is Terry McAuliffe at his worst. His body language is, I'm a liar. Just play the beginning of a cut 13.
How do you define critical race theory?
I answer this question very clearly. It's not taught in Virginia, and it's never been taught in Virginia. And as I've said this a lot, it's a dog whistle. It's racial, it's division, and it's used by Glenn Youngkin and others. This is the same thing with Trump and the border wall to divide people. We should not be dividing people in school.
So how do you define it?
Anita, it is not taught here.
Do you get it?
In Virginia.
Do you get it? He won't define it. He can't define it. He's already losing the election. He can't lose the radical left, which is going to Princess Blanding. He can't answer questions. If it was a fight, they would have stopped it. Terry McAuliffe melting down in front of Virginia voters yesterday. Glenn Youngkin did very, very well, as he always does. Very poised, very smart, very able. More on this when we come back. Because that gold medal winner, I won't define it for you, but it's not taught here. But I can't define it, so don't worry about it. Nope, Terry McAuliffe, you need to go home. I'll be right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. We never got an answer from Terry McAuliffe last night. I'm going to replay it for you in a second. Let me tell you, by the way, that if you're worried about critical race theory in your public school, Alliance Defending Freedom is who you ought to be supporting, because they will stop indoctrination and they will also stop anti-religious persecution in any public college, high school, or elementary school. They have done so for 25 years, and that's why Alliance Defending Freedom sponsors this show, why I sponsor them. It's why when I ask you to give a donation to ADF via the banner at the top of HughHewitt.com, you can be assured it will be used well. They've won 13 out of 14 Supreme Court cases over the last 9 years. They've got 75 lawyers on staff, 3,300 lawyers across the United States. They run the Blackstone Fellows to train up new lawyers to not only become superstars in the law, but future judges and appeals court judges and Supreme Court judges. They are the best legal defense group in the United States. And they defend my worldview and your worldview. And I've known them forever and I've loved them forever. And you can trust them and contribute to them very securely, tax deductible, over at HughHewitt.com. But if critical race theory comes to your school and your child needs to fight it, or your child is being discriminated against because he or she believes in God and carries a Bible to school or wears a face mask that has Jesus loves me on it, as is one of their cases, ADF will step up for you. There's nothing ADF can do about Terry McAuliffe when he won't answer a question, but I'm going to play it for you anyway because it's so freaking ridiculous. The moderator is just asking him for the simple definition of what critical race theory is, and Terry won't answer. Cut number 13.
How do you define critical race theory?
I answer this question very clearly. It's not taught in Virginia. And it's never been taught in Virginia. And as I've said this a lot, it's a dog whistle. It's racial. It's division. And it's used by Glenn Youngkin and others. This is the same thing with Trump and the border wall to divide people. We should not be dividing people in school.
So how do you define it?
Anita, it is not taught here in Virginia.
But how do you define it?
Doesn't matter. It's not taught.
Doesn't matter, because Terry doesn't want to talk about it, because Terry doesn't want to go back to his nightmare moment in the last debate where he talked about, well, this. Cut number, where is he talking about? Cut number 16.
And we're going to take a clip of your comments from the last debate on parents' involvement in the school curriculum.
And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
The bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Okay, so with that as the backdrop, sir,
In
the Emerson College Next Star poll, Virginians were asked who should have more influence in their curriculum, parents or school boards? And we did find that the majority of parents think they should have more influence in their children's education versus the school board. So based on that, do you still stand by your position that parents should not tell the schools what they should teach?
First of all, that was about a bill about teachers being able to veto.
First of all, okay. I'm not. It's amazing to me. He doesn't say, no, I was misunderstood. It's amazing to me. It's a setup for him to get a do-over. He gets to say, I misspoke. What I meant to say was, he never does that. He never repudiates his remark. Terry McAuliffe is toast. All right, get out there, Virginia, and vote. In fact, if you're a Virginian, call me, 1-800-520-1234, about this. I think Terry McAuliffe, he refused to repudiate the defund the police people. He refused to repudiate his own parents out of the school board business. He refuses to define critical race theory. It's an education election in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin is killing him. Market update brought to you by Birch Gold. And if you're worried about a meltdown in the markets, don't be, because they passed the debt limit hike yesterday and markets went up as a result. The Dow went up 102 points. The S&P went up 17. The Nasdaq went up 68. Overseas today, everything is up. England is up 0.13%. Gold is a little bit down at 1759 because there won't be a disaster, but that's a great entry point. If you want some gold in your safety deposit box, get it from Birch Gold via HughGold.com or by texting my name Hugh to 474747. Or if you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a precious metals, actual own the gold and silver in a depository administered by Birch Gold, do the same thing. HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. You've been putting it off long enough. The market's at high. It's gone up, gone up, gone up. Maybe you should hedge your bet and diversify at least a little bit, 5 to 10% of your retirement into a gold-backed IRA. Think about it. Go to HughGold.com. Get a free information kit. Come right back here on the Friday morning. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I actually think rebounding of America is going to begin in Virginia with the election of Glenn Youngkin. I think American politics is going to turn a page towards competent, smart, successful, happy people like Glenn and Suzanne Youngkin, and away from the division that Terry McAuliffe represents of the 90s and the Bill Clinton politics of personal destruction, Obama's hard left lurch, Joe Biden's incoherence, even away from the Trump years' constant combat. I think people are exhausted by this and they want a competent, calm leader who is smart and will get stuff done. There is other news today besides Terry McAuliffe's meltdown last night at the governor's roundtable. 538, which is a liberal to left polling organization, website, data crunchers. Let's face it, Biden's not rebounding. Ed Morrissey over at Hot Air tells the story that his job approval crash has sunk to the bottom. But there is no inflection. It's not bouncing back. This surprises a lot of people. Other news, natural gas shortage, according to the Wall Street Journal, sets off a scramble ahead of winter. Everyone up north is just going to freeze a lot or pay a lot. Also, they're going to pay more in the supermarket. Another Wall Street Journal story, ConAgra, PepsiCo, and other food makers grapple with higher costs. They're not grappling with higher costs. They're going to pass them on to you. The fetching Mrs. Hewitt tells me yesterday's trip to Trader Joe, where she lives. She might be here with me, but she's actually at Trader Joe's more often, I think. But she went to Trader Joe's yesterday and just cannot believe what's happening to prices everywhere. Meanwhile, Tesla. Now, I don't own any Tesla, not going to own any Tesla. I don't think good idea, wouldn't be prudent. I'm an Amazon guy. But Tesla, the electric vehicle maker, Elon Musk's car company, has moved its headquarters from California to Texas, Austin, Texas, to be specific, but Texas. Why? Well, because California, it's Musk says it can't scale in California, which is Musk for... You think I'm nuts? I'm not staying in that state. Pfizer has asked the FDA to authorize COVID-19 vaccine in young children. Now, I think this is a good idea. Many parents will want it, 5 to 11. It's not dangerous. But you know what struck me about this? The FDA scheduled a panel of outside experts to review the Pfizer data on October the 26th. So I ask you, if the virus is a crisis among children, and it's not. However, many tragic cases occur of children dying from COVID. I think there were 2 in Virginia last month. And there have been 500 across the United States of children under 18 from the beginning of the pandemic to today. Every one of them a terrible, heartbreaking tragedy. But if it were a crisis, if it really threatened children, do you think they'd wait 3 weeks after an application for a vaccine for children that worked? The answer is no. And it's because while there are some children with underlying comorbidities who have been suffering from this, it is overwhelmingly not of concern to young children. It just isn't. Also, big story again, Wall Street Journal owning the news today. The U.S. set out to hobble China's Huawei, and so it has. Kudos to you, Mike Pompeo. Also, U.S. troops have been deployed in Taiwan for at least a year. That's because a year ago, Mike Pompeo, Robert C. O'Brien were advising President Trump on how to shore up Taiwan against the influence of the CCP. Donald Trump, by the way, went on Fox last night and told Hannity his opinion of what would have happened in the end game had he been reelected in Afghanistan. You need to hear this, cut number 12.
And they also understood we were getting out, and they had conditions. They didn't fulfill those conditions, so we hit them hard, and we stayed longer, and we were getting ready to move. And I said, I want every bolt, I want every nail, I want every screw, I want the those buildings, those beautiful canvas buildings that we build as hangars. I want the buildings taken out. I want the canvas. I want the airplanes. I want the tanks. I want every single piece of equipment we have. And then we were going to bomb 5 airfields, and we were going to keep Bagram because it's right next to China. In fact, it's right next to their, very close to their nuclear facility. It would have been great to keep it. It cost $10 billion to build it. And we left with the lights on. They left the lights on. They left the dogs there. They didn't destroy the equipment. They didn't take the equipment out. They said they destroyed some equipment because they were so embarrassed that they left without the equipment. $85 billion. Nobody knows what that is. $85 billion worth of equipment. The entire budget, military budget of Russia for a year is $50 billion. Wow. And we left $85 billion worth of equipment in the hands of the Taliban.
He would have kept Bagram because that was, of course, the obvious thing to do. Good for you, former President Trump. And do not forget that we still have American citizens abandoned. If you vote for Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, you're just saying you're giving Biden a pass. You're giving the Democrats a pass. Last night, Mitch McConnell found 10 Republicans to avert a crisis. But that's not going to happen in December because Chuck Schumer then immediately went out and did a victory dance on the Senate. It wasn't a victory. They punted. They punted to December so that everyone now knows the Democrats can fix this by themselves, and they're going to have to do it in December. But Mitch helped them over the fact that they waited too long and they were going to crash the economy because Chuck Schumer's a doofus. He just doesn't know how to run the Senate. Mitch is an expert. So they relented last night. They went out and gave him an extra month to get this done, an extra 6 weeks of borrowing to get this done by the Democrats. And then Chuck Schumer went out and gave a moronic speech, and Joe Manchin took him aside and said, that is a blanking stupid speech, as did many other Democrats to reporters. Chuck Schumer really is a doofus. He is not quite the doofus of Terry McAuliffe. Again, ask directly. My number is 1-800-520-1234. I'm going to switch to college football for a second in the next segment, so you got to call me now if you're a Virginian. 1-800-520-1234. Terry McAuliffe gets asked about a radical group that wants to defund the police that has endorsed him. Cut number 14.
Now, my question is, are you still proud to have the endorsement of the new Virginia majority?
Listen, Andy, the issue is, when I was governor, I had the lowest crime rate of any state in the United States of America. You know what? And I think that's what your viewers are actually concerned about. When I ran for governor, we had 1,000 sheriffs on food stamps. I made a pledge, and I honored that, to get everyone off of food stamps. I am the first governor to receive an honorary sheriff award from the sheriffs. I have tremendous support. I gave my state police. I gave my law enforcement pay raises and all. It's important.
No, but my question is, sir, I need you answered. Are you still proud to have the endorsement of the new Virginia majority? Yes or no?
Listen, groups endorse me. You're not responsible. I got thousands of them.
This group, are you still proud to have their
endorsement? I do not support any defunded the police. I actually funded the police. And that's why, as I say, I had the lowest crime rate of any major state in America. That's just plain fact. So you've got groups endorsing you. Really? What do Virginians care about? That when I was governor, in a bipartisan way, I passed the toughest domestic violence law in the United States of America. And
did you hear that? Really? That's a sneer at the moderator. who is asking about a radical group that has endorsed him. Now, imagine a radical group endorsing Trump or a supremacist group endorsing anybody. And imagine the answer sneering at the journalist. Really? Really? He's so arrogant because he started this thinking it was going to be a cakewalk. Now he's behind. He's desperate. The fact of the matter is it's a radical group and he won't disavow it. But that's not the worst Terry McAuliffe answer last night, Virginia. This is because critical race theory is a real thing. It is really being taught, is being really infused into schools across the United States, and it really is coming to a school board near you and teacher training and in exercises in class and white privilege exercises. The whole nine yards is coming right at you. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. So here we have a moderator. She's African-American, by the way. I don't know her name, asking Terry McAuliffe about CRT, cut number 13.
How do you define critical race theory?
I answer this question very clearly. It's not taught in Virginia, and it's never been taught in Virginia. And as I've said this a lot, it's a dog whistle. It's racial, it's division, and it's used by Glenn Youngkin and others. This is the same thing with Trump and the border wall to divide people. We should not be dividing people in school.
So how do you define it?
Anita, it is not taught here in Virginia.
But how do you define it?
Doesn't matter. It's not taught here in Virginia, so I'm not going to spend my time
on what it is.
I'm not even spending my time because the school board and everyone else has come out and said it's not taught. It's racist.
Do you understand how arrogant that is? How dismissive that is of a journalist? Now, the fact that she's a woman and a minority is doubly dismissive in the woke world, but they don't care because Terry McAuliffe is trying to be woke. He's the least woke Democrat I've ever met, but he's trying. But he can't help himself but be condescending and arrogant towards an obvious question. If you can't define it, how do you know it's not being taught? It's not reading Frederick Douglass's autobiography. It's not watching 12 Years a Slave. It's none of that. It's not reading Letter from a Birmingham Jail. It is not any of those things. What it is the infusion of race consciousness into aspects of the curriculum so that pupils end up thinking of themselves first or at least early as a racial category as opposed to an American citizen. That's it. Or an American resident, for those who are on legal permanent resident in the United States. It is so arrogant of Terry McAuliffe not to answer. He's just so arrogant. Go vote for Glenn Youngkin. Time to turn the page, Virginia. Also, time to take your relieffactor.com, Virginia. I walked around the marbled floor of the National Gallery yesterday. I wasn't trundling along the mall. I was walking along the mall, and the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt went to the National Gallery. Thank goodness museums existed before billionaires, or we wouldn't have any museums. And I had my relief factor already in the system because I take it in the first hour, like right now, because I still haven't plugged in my Kasori, which is a wonderful thing, which I should get an endorsement before I plug it in and blow up the studio. ReliefFactor.com, $19.95. Get your three-week starter pack, your weekend warriors. Make sure you take it before you go out and play whatever you play. Doug LaMaurice is next. My college football segment of the week is ahead since it's America's new sport. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. The weekend beckons. That means college football is back. This is my regular segment with Doug LaMaurice, co-host along with Shahan J. Areha of the College Football Playoff Show podcast. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great, Hugh. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to finding out what the best, most important game for the playoffs were last week and the next one coming up. But I must pause. I listened to three of your podcasts, and this week you discussed podcast mutiny. And the prospect of facing one day when your co-hosts come up and rise up and drag you down. I face that every day with my producer. And you said, I will not go quietly into the portal. I think that's every host's flag I'm going to fly from now on, Doug.
No, I'm not here like help the young guys along and let them take my job. I'm holding on by my fingertips as long as I can, you.
That is my theory 100%. All right, to the College Football Playoff Show podcast. What was the most important game last weekend?
So couple things got established last weekend. Cincinnati is absolutely in the playoff mix. They beat Notre Dame, one of the bigger wins in program history. Cincinnati has a good chance to run the table, get to 13-0 in a chaotic year. That would be a big deal for a team in that conference. Cincinnati beating Notre Dame was huge. And then Alabama and Georgia both beat top 12 opponents, which wasn't a shock, even though I picked Ole Miss to beat Alabama incorrectly. It just reestablished that there are two clearly top teams in college football, and Alabama and Georgia continue to show that.
Well, I thought you might mention, because if I gambled, I don't gamble. I'm a worse gambler than you are, Doug. I would have put money on Ohio State with that line. I would, you know, because that line looked at 15.5 points. Really? We can't beat Rutgers by 15.5 points? And you called yourself out for not betting that.
No, well, you know, I got a kid going to college too, but I said I could have doubled the tuition I've got to pay. I could have set myself up for life. I knew Ohio State was going to beat Rutgers by more than 15.5. But that just makes me nervous because I am a terrible gambler. I shouldn't try.
I never do. Okay, what's ahead this week?
So two big games. One is Oklahoma has looked iffy all year. They remain undefeated. I picked them to win the national championship before the season. Their rivalry game against Texas is Saturday. Texas has Bijan Robinson, who might be the most dynamic running back in the country. Oklahoma is only favored by 3 in a rivalry game. Oklahoma has been looking like it's trying to lose. This could be it. But the biggest game is Penn State-Iowa, top 5 matchup. First time since 1962 that the Big Ten has had a matchup of top 5 teams that doesn't include Ohio State or Michigan.
Wow.
So that's how big this is in Iowa City. Iowa is favored at home by 1.5. Great defense. I think Penn State wins. Jahan Dotson, maybe the best receiver in the country, but a huge game for Big Ten playoff implications.
The first time since 62. Now, the SEC does that like every 6 months or every 2 months. And so that's really something. I tell people the reason I like the College Football Playoff podcast show is that you put context into everything for the people who are verticals. I'm a vertical. I'm an Ohio State fan. There are horizontals. They love everything about college football. And the College Football Playoff podcast show does that. I want to go back, though, to the run. Did you just say a running back in Texas is better than Henderson?
He is a second-year player, Bijan Robinson. Ohio State thought they were going to get Bijan Robinson. He picked Texas instead. And once Ohio State said, we didn't get Bijan Robinson, I wrote an Ohio State book. This is in there. The Ohio State running back coach said, we've got to get Travion Henderson because we didn't get Bijan Robinson. They are both tremendously talented. Bijan's a year older. Watch him, Hugh. He is unbelievable.
All right, let's plug the hell out of that book while we can. Tell us about the book, Doug. It's available at Amazon now. My copy is winging its way to me.
It's called The Road to Ohio State. It's 17 different stories of Ohio State players, how they got recruited to Ohio State. Not their time as Buckeyes, but how they chose Ohio State. From players for Woody Hayes to Travion Henderson, a freshman right now, Eddie George, the Bosa brothers, Keith Byers, all kinds of great Buckeyes, Ryan Shazier. You can find it online, Amazon, bookshop.org, lots of places.
The Road to Ohio State, The Road to Ohio State. Frank Luntz says the Luntz rule is you've got to say a title 7 times for people to remember it. So The Road to Ohio State will be mentioned at least twice more. The Road to Ohio State. Let me ask you, in that, did you cover Kirk Herbstreit? Because I just read his memoir, so I know how he got to Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, I did cover Kirk Herbstreit. He was kind enough to speak with me, and I was like, man, it's going to be exciting to have Kirk Herbstreit in my book. I didn't know he was writing a whole book himself. His book has wiped me off the charts, Hugh. So buy Kirk's book, but also buy mine.
The Road to Ohio State. Remember that, America. Doug Lemerese, thank you. I love the podcast. I love Buckeye Talk, which is about the funniest podcast out there. And I love the College Football Playoff Show podcast. How's that? I also like Orange and Brown Talk. But Doug Lemerese, thank you. Follow him on Twitter as well. Say hello to Shahan for me. I've learned how to say Shahan J. Araha, so I'm very pleased with myself. He's the co-host of the College Football Playoff podcast, the College Football Playoff Show podcast. The Road to Ohio State. Don't go anywhere. The road to the Virginia Governor's Mansion runs over the bus that ran over Terry McAuliffe, that Terry McAuliffe was driving last night in Virginia. I got to go back to it. I have never heard a worse debate answer than Terry McAuliffe gave last night. He is the most arrogant man in American politics, and boy, it shows. Oh, it shows. We'll be right back on the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. Good morning, Congressman Gallagher. How are you?
I'm good. You're also joined by Grace Gallagher this morning.
So, oh, good morning, Grace.
Interesting noises in the background.
That's good. We're glad to have Grace with us. That was my grandmother's name. Your wife made a good choice there. Congressman Gallagher at 40%. Oh, hello there, Grace. At 40%. Well, she's going to object to this question. She's a Packers fan. At 40% conversion rate, the Packers are really bad at fourth down. Does that explain why they didn't go for it last year?
Oh, Hugh, just the number. The only numbers that matter are wins and losses. And in there, the Packers are rolling right now. Your jealousy is so plain to see. Every year we go through this cycle, and every year the Packers win, and your Browns are disappointed.
I think the Browns at 3-1 are just fine, and we're at 50%, but we go for it at least. I think maybe that explained it. I was giving you a way out. I want you to listen to former President Trump on Hannity last night talking about the exit from Afghanistan. Grace shouldn't listen to this, but you do. Cut number 12.
And they also understood we were getting out, and they had conditions. They didn't fulfill those conditions, so we hit them hard, and we stayed longer. And we were getting ready to move, and I said, I want every bolt, I want every nail, I want every screw, I want those buildings, those beautiful canvas buildings that we build as hangars, I want the buildings taken out, I want the canvas, I want the airplanes, I want the tanks, I want every single piece of equipment we have. And then we were going to bomb 5 airfields, and we were going to keep Bagram because it's right next to China. In fact, it's right next to their, very close to their nuclear facility. It would have been great to keep it. It cost $10 billion to build it. And we left with the lights on. They left the lights on. They left the dogs there. They didn't destroy the equipment. They didn't take the equipment out. They said they destroyed some equipment because they were so embarrassed that they left without the equipment. $85 billion. Nobody knows what that is. $85 billion worth of equipment. The entire budget, military budget of Russia for a year is $50 billion. Wow. And we left $85 billion worth of equipment in the hands of the Taliban.
What do you make of that, Congressman Gallagher?
Well, I do think it is clear that the Taliban violated the Doha Agreement. When I questioned General McKenzie, the CENTCOM commander, on this very point, and asked him whether the attack on Fox Chapman violated the Doha Agreement, he remarkably and astoundingly to me said no, it did not, which is crazy. I think it was a clear agreement. And I do believe, having talked with Ambassador O'Brien, heard former DNI Ratcliffe talk about the subject, as well as former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, I do believe we would be in a much different place if the Trump administration were handling this problem as opposed to the Biden administration. And we were not bound by what was in the Doha Agreement because the Taliban had violated it. The other interesting thing that came out in my questioning of McKenzie is he confirmed the Washington Post report that the Taliban came to him and asked if we wanted to secure all of Kabul and not just the airport. And he didn't think that was significant enough to ensure that it got reported up the chain of command to the president himself. To me, that is a massive failure. I mean, that is something the president needed to know to influence his decision-making. And then finally, Hugh, we learned that the Taliban unit that was providing security around the Kabul airport at the time of the suicide bombing that killed 13 of our troops was a unit called Bajri 313, which is the Taliban unit that specializes in suicide bombing. So this whole thing was a preventable fiasco because of the decisions that the Biden administration made. And for them to say they were bound by the Trump Doha agreement, I think does not hold water for precisely the reasons that the former president laid out, which is that the Taliban were in violation of the agreement.
You ran out of time talking to General McKenzie, not unlike the Packers. And I am sorry that you ran out of time because you demonstrated how to effectively question a witness, which is not to argue with them, simply to catalog their answers. And General McKenzie's answers, you said FOB Chapman, Forward Operating Base Chapman, was a heavily guarded CIA installation and intelligence community installation that came under Taliban attack, contrary to the Doha Agreement, in March of this year, with no response. And that should have been game, set, match, Doha is over. Then you didn't get a chance because we didn't know two things subsequent to that hearing. The suicide bomber who killed the Marines, the sailor, and the soldier was released from Bagram when they overran Bagram. And there was a secret exfiltration point at a gas station far away from the Karzai International Airport, which we could have kept running for weeks with adequate security to get everybody out, Congressman Gallagher. This is a monumental fiasco disaster.
Well, it's interesting. I actually did ask McKenzie about the suicide bomber if he had been incarcerated at Bagram, and I believe he said, I don't know.
He said, I don't know, but we believe he was.
Yeah, exactly, which just adds another element to this massive failure. You know, Hugh, the other thing you saw, I think both Secretary Austin and Chairman Milley tried to do, as well as General McKenzie, was say that, okay, we all recommended against withdrawal. The withdrawal may have been a strategic failure and a bad decision, but that's on Biden. And when it came to the actual military operation, which they refused to describe as anything other than a non-combatant evacuation operation because they don't want to say that it was a conditional surrender to the Taliban. But when it came to that operation, that was a big success, right? We got 124,000 people out. I don't think that is accurate. I don't think that holds water. The operation, the surrender and withdrawal operation itself, was a failure. It was poorly planned, it was poorly executed, and it was full of preventable calamities, such as the death of 13 Americans who did not need to die, and the abandonment of hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans behind enemy lines, as well as the abandonment of billions, tens of billions of dollars worth of military equipment, which is now being sold on the black market in places like Pakistan. So the military leadership needs to understand that even the operation for withdrawal was a failure, and they can't just blame everything on the poor strategic decision to withdraw, which was a political decision.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because the whole chaos thing, chaos equals failure, it's down my list of priorities, but I'm glad you brought it up. It was chaos, and we are lucky that only 13 American lives were lost, each one of which heartbreaking and a tragedy. But it could have been far worse, and indeed, we have no idea who we left behind. Congressman Gallagher, the State Department repeatedly said, about 100. If I'm right, we've already had more than 200 American citizens exfiltrated out of Afghan post-collapse. Am I right? Did they lie to us about the number of Americans who wanted to get out?
I think they did. The most generous assessment, I guess, is that they simply didn't know. And certainly you had Jake Sullivan, Tony Blinken say, well, the problem is when people come to Afghanistan, they don't necessarily check in with the embassy or they don't tell us when they leave. I think that's all hogwash. I mean, they did not want to admit that we were leaving thousands of Americans behind. And to say nothing of the tens of thousands of Afghan allies or SIV-eligible Afghans that we left behind as well. It's clear to me, Hugh, if you sort of take that 124,000 number and dig into that population, what we're realizing in places like Fort McCoy, a military base in Wisconsin, where you have thousands of these people, the vetting was very subpar. We did not prioritize SIVs. We were very indiscriminate in the way in which we got people from the airport to lily pads and then into port of entry in places like Dulles Airport and then finally into the Midwest. We really did not have a plan, and we're making this up on the fly. And now we have Wisconsinites who are concerned about Afghans simply walking off a military base with no plan for how we're going to take care of these people or integrate them in the local community. The whole thing is a mess from start to finish.
The same thing has happened in Virginia, where I assume the Afghans who are walking off are going in a car with a friend or a family member. There are a lot of Afghans who live in the Washington area. Many of them drive, and I've been in the cars with two of them in the last 2 weeks, one very angry, one very resigned. There's a large Afghan community in Washington, D.C., so I can see people driving down and picking up someone without, because it's all screwed up. I mean, it's screwed up everywhere. This was not the operation that we mounted for the South Vietnamese in the aftermath of the collapse of the Republic of Vietnam in 1975. Mike Gallagher, are there more hearings coming up? And will the leadership on the Republican side of armed services or appropriations for the military, whatever, allow one member just to push a coherent line of questioning? If you had been given the floor, we'd be so much further on. You and Waltz, and there was one other guy on there that did a great job, but a lot of it was all over the place again, and a lot of it was grandstanding.
Well, Waltz did a phenomenal job, I thought, really poking holes in the concept of over-the-horizon counterterrorism.
Yes.
And how it is built on false assumptions. I mean, as the tragic drone strike that killed 10 innocent Afghan civilians, I think, perfectly illustrates. And you just have limited time on target for drones, and you don't have human intelligence on the ground to guide your targeting. And I thought Waltz was very effective in pointing that out. And by the way, McKenzie, Milley, and Austin, they know that over the horizon CT is just a mirage. They know it. I mean, we really need to continue to poke holes in that, because that's our entire counterterrorism strategy right now. That's a very dangerous counterterrorism strategy. There will be more hearings. I don't know when they're next scheduled, but we've only begun to scratch the surface. And you're right, Hugh, we need to do a better job of coordinating our questioning as a caucus, the Republicans on the Armed Services Committee. There is a commission authorized in the National Defense Authorization Act to investigate the entire Afghanistan fiasco. So there will be an opportunity to, you know, armed with subpoena power, do a deeper dive into this entire thing. But we need to continue to dig into
who is going to be on that commission.
We don't know. It depends on when if it survives the conference process in NDAA, and then the leadership in both parties has a lot of discretion as to who they appoint. And I should say to your listeners, Hugh, part of the reason we need to win back the House in 2022 is not just to pull the emergency brake on this crazy progressive multi-trillion dollar agenda that would completely destroy states' rights in this country, but also to be able to have the tools, the subpoena power necessary to do very important investigations, whether it's into Afghanistan or the origins of coronavirus and the CCP cover-up, or just the many other things that require investigation, whether it's Hunter Biden's emails or, you know, the DOJ's weaponization of its powers in order to go after parents who object to critical race theory in school boards. And by the way, Hugh, I think we're going to win this Virginia governor's race on the issue of education, and that could be a sign that there is a wave coming in the midterms, because people are tired of this radical progressive agenda that Joe Biden is ushering in.
You have probably not heard the show this morning. Terry McAuliffe did a face plant last night, refusing an African-American journalist's request that he define CRT. You're right, Mike Gallagher. We are going to win this. We are going to win this on education. And I think a wave is coming on a number of things. Congressman Mike Gallagher, and especially Grace, you've made my morning happy. Thank you, Grace. You come back, but you be a Browns fan, all right, sweetie? I'll be right back, America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.